The truth will set you free. Amen. Sometimes the truth isn't always easy to swallow, but when we get it down and we digest it, it helps us, right? And God is interested in our well-being always. So he gave us his word, and he sent people like me to tell you about it. And I talked to myself about it as well. So praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that your word is truth, it's life, it's health to us. Father, we do esteem it as the final authority in our life, the ultimate authority in our life. We ask that you'd teach us tonight. Holy Spirit, speak through me. I thank you for words of utterance, and I thank you for hearts that are ready to receive, ears to hear it. Father, I thank you that it'll fall on good ground tonight, and it'll produce in our lives, Father, as we not just hear it, but we practice it and put it into use in our life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody have their Bible? Good. Good, good, good. Tonight, we're going to talk about putting your spirit in charge. All right, so did everybody put on their big boy pants, big girl pants tonight? It's the midweek service, so this is for the vets that come out that are serious. And so we could talk to you a little more about spiritual growth, you know, and things that are things that we need to be doing as believers. And if we want to grow and we want to make progress in our walk with the Lord, there's things that we need to correct in our lives. And just like we correct our children, we don't correct them because we don't like them. We correct them because we want to see them better, right? And we want to kind of steer and guide them and show them the path that they need to follow as they get older. So God's word is the same way. And so tonight we're going to really talk about some things that keeping our spirit in charge. You know, it's so easy to allow our flesh to dominate us. You know, we're flesh people. We're, you know, we live in this body, in this natural body, and we're affected by the things that we see. And so our flesh, left to itself, is always going to choose to do the wrong thing. You know, when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, your spirit is renewed, and your spirit comes alive immediately. It's the flesh and the body that we have to contend with. And it's the mind that we have to contend with. And the scriptures and what we're going to talk about tonight, we're not going to be very long, but is renewing our mind and how we can effectively allow our spirit to be in charge. But you know, I'm not going to say that it's easy because it's not. But you get out of it what you put into it. Amen. You know, if you don't put anything into it, you're not really going to get much out of it. So we need to endeavor to allow God to be number one in our life. And you know, we're faced with choices each and every day. We're faced with choices on the way over here tonight. We're faced with choices. Just driving our car, we're faced with choices. And so tonight, those are the kind of things that we're going to talk about, having our spirit in charge. So if you have your Bible, several scriptures tonight, we're going to jump around. But Romans chapter 12, in the first couple verses of chapter 12, we're going to look at. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so you could follow along, or I don't know if they could put that up there, but that's what we're going to look at. So we'll start here in Romans chapter 12, and it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. When you think of what he has done for us, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Say transform. And how do we transform? By changing the way we think. Okay? We're not transforming our spirits. We're transforming our mind in the way we think. And the only thing that we should be transforming our mind with is his word. Is his word, things that are going to build us up, that'll energize our spirit. So that when we're faced with situations that come our way, are we going to give in to the flesh? Are we going to be flesh ruled? Or are we going to allow our spirit to be in charge? And these are, you know what, these are decisions that we have to make. You know, God's not going to make us do anything. He's given us a free will, a choice. But these are choices that we need to make on a daily basis, sometimes minute to minute, you know. But when we do that, we grow and we actually experience the blessings of God, the things that he desires for us to have. You know, if we're not walking in those things, it's probably because we're being flesh ruled. You know, and I'm just talking to you, I'm talking to myself here as well, because we live in this body, you know, and I have to deal with the same things that everyone else has to deal with. And you know what? I don't always do the right thing. I wish I did, but I don't. But thank God, last time I was with you, we talked about repentance. And when we have a repentive heart, we turn and we get things right and we move on with God. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. So most Christians don't live like they are spirit beings. Sometimes we forget that because we get so caught up in this earthly realm that we live in, but we're really, the real us is our spirit. If everybody's spirit was to leave their body, you just sit there like a mass of flesh. There's nothing else there. The real us is our spirit. So we are spirit beings. And a Christian who lives according to his physical senses all the time will always run into trouble. Because, you know, the world now is always, their motto is just do whatever you feel. You know, isn't that pretty much it? If it feels okay, then go ahead and do it. You know, there's no real standard that to live by. But God's word is completely opposite of that. There's a lot of things that feel good to the flesh that aren't good for the flesh. You know, and God wants us to grow into that place. But you know what? God is so patient and forgiving and loving with us. He takes his time with us. But we should be making progress. The Bible says that they'll know us by the fruit that we bear. You know, and so we have to ask ourselves, what kind of fruit? When people look at me, what kind of fruit do they see? You know, do they see fruit that would be a representation of a Christian, or do they see fruit like the rest of the world bears, where they wouldn't even notice there was a difference about me? You know, that's questions that we need to ask ourselves. So that's also, turn over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. We're going to look at that as well. So there's a couple things that Paul was talking about here. And, you know, there's three points, and this is what Paul himself had to do. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to look at, we'll start in verse 24 probably. But there's three things, and when we look at further into the scriptures here, it's that Paul did. He had to believe according to God. He believed, he spoke, and he acted. And you know what? That's what we need to do. It's one thing to believe. And how many understand this, that you're going to speak what you believe? The words that come out of your mouth are going to be what you believe. And what you hear yourself say is what you're going to act on. And you know what? Faith without works is dead. You know, we have to put some action behind the things that we say and the things that we believe. So, but our bodies, there's things that we need to do as believers that are going to determine the growth that we experience in God. And sometimes we have to put our bodies under. You know, we have to put our flesh under. Paul talked about that all the time, about putting his flesh under in certain circumstances, in certain things. Because your flesh, like I said, will always, given the opportunity, will want to sin. It'll want to please and gratify its fleshly nature. And the Bible talks that sin is just for a season. You know, sometimes we look at like, man, we're missing out on so much. And really, we're not missing out on anything. God's ways are so much better. I mean, I know in my own life personally, so, you know, I walked away from the Lord when I was younger and I went and lived, you know, not the best Christian life, thinking that I was missing out on so much. And really, I was bringing nothing but heartache and misery into my life. You know, and maybe you can relate to that. Maybe someone else in this place or several of us have been there before. But when you taste and see that the Lord is good, there's no other life to live than to walk with God. You know, and it's sin, honestly, for a season. And it seems great while you're doing it because the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. That's his goal. He roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's not going to set a bomb off in front of you, because that we could recognize. He's going to lure us in a little at a time, little at a time. You let your guard down a little at a time. And sin seems fun. It seems innocent. It seems like, I'm in control here. Everything's all right. But it's really snowballing out of control until you find yourself in a place that you say, how did I get here? You know, and it can happen to any one of us. Nobody's exempt from that. And I'm not preaching fear, but I'm preaching reality, I'm preaching wisdom, and I'm preaching truth. Preacher to the lay person, it doesn't matter. Everybody, if we put down this his word and allow our mind to just gravitate to our fleshly desires, we can end up in the worst shape we've ever been. So knowing those things ought to keep us one step ahead, right? But there's things that we're going to have to do in order to combat those things and not fall prey. So 1 Corinthians, where I tell you, chapter 9, right? No, I said 9. Yes, I did. Just testing you. 9:24. All right. Everybody there? Except for Jamie's in chapter 10. All right. It says, remember that in a race, everyone runs. And I love how our Christian walk is and our spiritual race is so parallel to a natural race. And serving God, there's such a parallel to the military and structure and discipline. You know, it's just not a free-for-all. And whenever I read the word and I see the parallel in how the scriptures and how Paul explains it and how Jesus himself explained things, it just brings it into perspective. You know, there's a reason the military does what they do. There's absolutely a reason for it. Because it promotes discipline. It breaks us of our will, and it challenges us and makes us begin to think like the military thinks. They're basically renewing your mind with what they want you to have. And the same thing holds true with our walk with the Lord, you know? But a lot of times we think as Christians that we're free to do whatever we want, and then we find ourselves in trouble. But it says, verse 24, remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. You know, people train, the military trains, athletes train, and they discipline themselves. You know, you wake up early in the morning and sometimes you see people running outside in the rain, in the cold, but they're disciplined. I mean, for whatever reason, that's good, but they discipline themselves and it's good for them. And we say to ourselves, man, I just wish I could do that. And we can do that, but are we willing to discipline ourselves? You know, we could see a transformation in our life, but are we willing to do what they're doing? So they all practice strict self-control, and they do win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. You know, every day that we wake up, what is our purpose? God, enable me to make a difference today. Not just to wake up and breathe oxygen and go through the same routine, but what can I do to really make a difference? You know, what could be said about me like Billy Graham? You know, if we wake up with that purpose, God will open up doors and you will have the opportunity to really make a difference. But so Paul's saying, so I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I'm not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete. Say discipline. That's a word that most people aren't thrilled about. Discipline. But we need discipline in our lives. You know, you show me someone who's completely undisciplined, and I'll show you someone whose life spirals out of control. You know, but you show me a person that's disciplined and has a routine and is on top of the, and I'll show you someone who has things going for them, you know? But what we can all attain to those things. And if we're not there right now, fear not, okay? Because God's grace is sufficient. And his mercies are new every morning. It's something that we have to practice on a daily basis. So he says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. What it should, not what it feels like. Training to do what it should. And we need to train what we should be doing, not what we feel like doing. Because sometimes if you just go by how you feel, you wouldn't come to church. Sometimes if I went by how I feel, guess what? I wouldn't have came tonight. But we can't be led that way. Some people are. Some people are, and our feelings will take us. I mean, sometimes you feel good, sometimes you feel lousy, sometimes you feel depressed, sometimes you feel happy. So what do? Like a yo-yo up and down all the time? We can't. We have to have a standard that we live by. And that standard needs to be putting our flesh under, disciplining our body. I told you to make sure you had your big boy and girl pants on tonight, right? Everybody still with me? It's good, right? Listen, I'm preaching to myself, so, because this is stuff that we need to hear as believers. Because this is what's going to make the difference out of mature Christians making a difference and a bunch of babies. And that's just the way it is. How many have ever just been around a bunch of whining, crying babies? And you can only handle that for so long. You're like, oh my gosh, man, get me out of here. And you know what? Sometimes I think God must look down and go, when are they going to grow up? You know? And this, that's what separates the men from the boys, if you will. And you know what? God has great things for us to do. But if we want to remain babies, you know, drinking out of a bottle for the rest of our life, we're not going to make much progress. You know, so he says, otherwise, he finishes up by saying, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And you know what? I think it's very interesting that Paul finished up that section with that. Because how many sometimes are, and you don't have to raise your hand, but sometimes we're hesitant to share our faith with people. Sometimes we are. And there's various reasons why we are. But I would say the biggest reason is because we're not confident in living like we should ourselves. So it stops us in our track, because what are people going to think? They're going to think we're hypocrites, right? But and that's what Paul was saying. If for the only reason I keep my body disciplined, it's so that others might not disqualify me. And so that when I do speak to someone about the truth, they respect what I'm saying because they've seen the fruit that I bear. And that's what God wants from us. So these are the things that I'm talking about tonight. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, that when you become a new person in Christ, old things do pass away and all things become new. But that is true only, and I said this to you, only in regard to your inward man. That's what becomes new. Your spirit becomes new when you were born again. Your body didn't change. It will always want to do the things it's not supposed to do. And if our body never wanted to do what was wrong, Paul would not have to say that I keep my body under control. But how many know that our body wants to do things that aren't necessarily right all the time? And you have that struggle. You know, we have that struggle, that inner struggle of man, I know I shouldn't be doing this. And let me say this to you, if we're not staying in the Word, see, staying in the Word doesn't stop the temptations from coming, but staying in the Word enables you to overcome and make the right choice. And the reason why so many make the wrong choice is because when they are tempted, they're enticed by their own fleshly desires, and they walk away from the truth, and they err on the side of the flesh instead of staying with the Spirit. See, God doesn't hold it against us when we're tempted. Jesus was tempted. You know, and he was tempted in a way that is different than maybe we're tempted today, being the Son of God. And what did he say? He resisted the devil with the Word. And he's Jesus, the Son of God. So we need to be able to stand strong just like that and be able to resist temptation when it comes our way. But the only way we're going to be able to do that is by spending time with God in his Word. We need to believe what the Word says. Then we need to speak it out and then act on what it says. Because it's the doer of the word that's blessed in all that he puts his hand to. It's not just the person who hears it. James talks about that, being a forgetful hearer. You know, we hear a good message, it inspires us, and then immediately we just go away and we forget. We forget about it. But you know what? When we practice makes perfect. And I know this is very elementary, but it's something that we need to hear as believers. Because it's something that's going to make the difference. Out there is the real world. You know, in here is the locker room. We have our pep talk. But when you go out there, it's the real deal. And we can't afford to just be, you know, shoddy in our walk with God, because the devil's going to knock us out. You know, it's going to knock us out. And then that, in turn, does more damage than good when we try to be a witness to somebody. because then they think that we're hypocrites. And the world already thinks that. We've had enough of that kind of stuff. So we want to do what the Lord has called us to do. So obviously the body left alone will want to do what it wants to do. But if you have flip over to what is it, Galatians? No. Flip over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Everybody with me still? Our problem will be with our body and our unrenewed mind. That's where our problem is. It's not with the spirit. What happens if we continually give into the flesh rather than walking according to the spirit? What happens? Galatians, I'm going to read that to you right now. Galatians chapter 6, and I know I said 5, but we're going to look at Galatians first. Galatians chapter 6 says this, that we'll start in verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should help their teacher by paying them. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live, verse 8, only to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. So there's that battle. And you know what? If we sow according to the flesh, decay and destruction is what we end up reaping. And we see that. And you know what? It kind of answers the question, you know, God's a reader of people's hearts. And you know, sometimes we don't understand, and people ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, and I don't have the answers for those things, but I do know God's word is truth. And that's, to me, the final authority. That's what I base my life on. But if we're going to sow to the flesh, we're going to reap destruction of the flesh. You know, and sometimes we don't know what goes on in people's lives. So, but I stay on what I do know. And I know that God's word works. I know that God is for me. And if he's for me, who can be against me? So I'm going to stay on God's side in every decision that I make in my life. You know, that's what I'm going to do. So anyway, for us to be a victorious Christian, our inward man must control the outward man. And if you're in Galatians 6, flip over one chapter to Galatians 5, and I want to read a couple of these verses to you. Starting in verse 16. And these, you know, you read through the epistles like this, it's all it's talking about is about keeping our bodies under and to grow spiritually with God. There's things that we have to do. It's not just a touchy-feely, feel-good kind of, you know, scratch my back kind of a message. You know, that's why I don't necessarily, might not preach this on a Sunday morning, but I will preach it to the ones in our congregation that are here all the time on a Wednesday night that can handle the meat and handle truth. You know, and we all need to hear these things. It's good for us. And let me say this, it's edification. This is encouragement. You know, this encouragement, it causes us to take a look at ourselves. And if there's things that don't seem right in our own life, then we need to do some inventory, because we know this, that God hasn't messed up anywhere. You know, if things aren't going right, it's something that we need to make some corrections. And thank God that he's gracious, he's patient with us. So verse 16 of chapter 5, it says, "So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Okay, if you're having a problem doing what the sinful nature craves, we're probably not living according to the new life in the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that might sound, ooh, that's weird. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, get up every day, very simple, make yourself a cup of coffee and open up the Bible. That's how we live the new life in the Holy Spirit. You know, but we can certainly not expect anything spectacular to happen in our life if we're not feeding ourselves spiritually. You know, but yet it sounds so fundamentally simple, but yet it's something that we neglect to do so often and for whatever reason. And it might not be certainly I wouldn't think that it's something on purpose, but when we allow things to steal our time, and it's so easy to do because we live in such a fast-paced, rapid society, technological, you name it, checking your email, your phone, bup, 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 and before you know it, we have neglected the time that we should be spending in the Word. Amen. You know, and if we'll put those things aside and make, but that's something that we have to make a conscious decision. You have to make a conscious decision to do. You're not just going to automatically wake up and say, you know what? I don't feel like looking at my phone this morning. I just want to read the Bible. Your flesh is going to want to go look at your phone and see what's happening. But your spirit is craving the word and the truth. And if we'll sow to the spirit of the spirit, we're going to reap blessings in eternal life. We're going to reap peace in our lives. To me, how many want peace? Peace is the most important thing that we can have. Because without peace, we have nothing. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have peace, you're going to be a basket case, worrying about your money. You know, peace is what we need, and it only comes from spending time with God. So then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 17, the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. You understand that? Our choices are never, the only time our choices are going to be free from that conflict is when we're sitting in front of the throne of God in the gates of heaven. We won't have that conflict anymore. But as long as we live here, there's going to be that conflict. But fear not. God has made a way for us to be overcomers. He didn't just leave us and abandon us and say, hey, man, sorry, that's the way it is. Good luck. He gave us his word. He gave us his truth. So if we apply these things to our lives, there's going to be a difference in our lives. We will be able to overcome these things. So they're going to always, we're never going to be free from this conflict. But when you were directed, verse 18, by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. You think he like covered it all, huh? Selfish ambitions, divisions, and feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you once again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is talking to Christians here. He's not talking to the world, to the lost. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the people, the church of Galatia, that these people are having problems with the lusts of their flesh. And you know what? The same thing that was applicable to them is just the same today. You know, you would have thought that he wrote this yesterday with some of the things that we deal with, you know. But, verse 22, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. So, you know, that's a whole lot to swallow there, but I could tell you this. Those aren't usually the scriptures that you hear preached in church, although we probably should hear them more often, you know, and we'd stay out of some of the trouble that we get into. But needless to say, they're very important in our lives. You know, these are the things that cause us to grow, the things that challenge us. You know, and if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now, let's not harden our hearts. Let's be pliable. And let's realize, you know what, God, if there's things, I know where you want to take me. I know what you've called me to do. And I know what your desires are for my life. And I submit to you tonight. I submit my will to your will. And I humble myself. And I thank you that you love me enough to tell me the truth. And you know what? We embrace that. His truth changes us. It changes us. And you know what? We don't walk around haughty like we've arrived, but we respond to other people with compassion and with love and realize that, you know what? The same truth that set us free can set them free. You know, and then we're able to go out and make a difference and wake up in the morning with a purpose saying, I know why I'm alive. I know why I'm here at this time. You know, and listen, we all go through struggles. You might be going through struggles in your life right now, all sorts, health issues, financial issues, whatever they may be. But you want to know something? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do you not think that God understands what we're going through? You know, but sometimes we put our eyes on the problem instead of on God. And if we'll focus on God, he'll take care of your problems. But you got to know him to trust him. You have to know him to trust him, to let go and let God take control. All God said, he didn't say, get up in the morning and make sure you're able to pay your bills. Never told us that. He said, get up, spend time with me, seek me first. My righteousness, my interests, then all these other things, everything that you need, and he went on to list them, you know, clothing on your back, food for your family, a roof over your head, I will see to it that you'll have all those things, and you'll have peace with it. You know, and the peace that God gives, the world can't take away. Nothing can take that away. You know, so the best peace and security that we can have is a serious relationship with God and trusting him. You know, and that's his desire for us, and that's what he desires for us to be, because that's when, as a church, we can impact our community. You know, we can make a difference in the lives of the people that we come in contact with. But when we're walking around with limping, with broken legs and beat up, we're really no help to anybody else. You know, and let's face it, the world does not know Christ. And they're searching in every single thing, looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, and we have the answer living inside of us. And it's truly a relationship. I don't know about you, but my life has changed because of God's love for me. Amen. That changed my life. It changed my life. You know, I was raised in it since I was 6 and 7 years old. And, you know, never really made the decision to walk with God till I was older and had to get a couple bruises and scrapes and scars to go along with it. But let me say something to you. God never stopped loving me, and he'll never stop loving you, no matter what we've done. No matter where we are, his eye is still on us. But the sooner we can surrender and submit to him, I'm living proof, okay? I was miserable for a long time in my life. Some know my testimony, some don't, but I was miserable for a long time trying to do things to please myself. You know, good things, but how many know that good things turn into not so good things? Because if we're living according to the flesh, we're going to end up in the wrong area. And when we end up in the wrong area, bad things happen to good intended people. And that's just, there's no other way around it. You know, I have t-shirts to prove that. And my mom and dad will tell you as proof. But when you surrender, things happen. But it comes down to exactly what I had said tonight, putting our spirit in charge. How many will determine to put your spirit in charge? You know, and it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's wake up in the morning and say, God, today I'm endeavoring with everything that I have to let my spirit be in charge. Okay? And guess what? You'll notice a difference. And when you mess up, you're also going to know right away, because you're going to get that check right in your heart and you're going to be like, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And you know what? He forgives you, he helps you, and you move on. You know, but if we don't make that conscious decision to do that every day, nothing's going to change in our lives. In fact, things are going to get worse. And it's not because God doesn't love us or he's changed his mind. It's we're allowing our flesh to essentially destroy us, which is what the enemy wants us to do. You know, but when we're aware of his tactics, in which we all are, you know, that's one thing that our military does. We study the tactics of the enemy. You know, we have special operation forces and all these high-tech things to study and to infiltrate what the enemy's doing. Why do we do that? Because it helps us stay one step ahead of them. You know, and so when we know the enemy's tactics, which we do, then we could stay one step ahead by spending time in God's word. You know, but we need to hear his word, we need to believe it, we need to speak it in our lives, and then we need to act like it's so. Amen? Why don't we stand up on our feet? That's all I have for tonight.